to Sefa Lufau, former Colorado Buffaloes quarterback, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
The time. Welcome back to The Whole Show, powered by Chevron. Happy to bring on this next guest, Brian Howell. Fantastic coverage this year of the Colorado Buffaloes on the football side of things. It was a weird year for sure. But Brian, I'm telling you, man, it's time to reboot that book of yours, your Buffs book that you did, 100 Things to Know before You Die as a Buffs Fan. I loved it, but I think you could write an entire book about this year, couldn't you?
Yeah, I was going to say, there's like 100 things to know about this past 11, 12 months. Playing a lot.
Brian, what was it like for you? I want to get into the transfer portal, the decommitments and stuff like that, but ultimately, did you enjoy this season?
Yes and no. I mean, there was good and bad to it, and just like there was last season, right? The football was better. They didn't win a ton more games, but it was much more competitive, entertaining football. I mean, at least when they lost most of their games this year, they were in them, and they were good games down to the end. And, you know, that certainly wasn't the case last year. From a beat writer perspective, it's a little more challenging covering the Dion program than it was in the past because, you know, we had better access to players and assistant coaches than in the past than we had this year. So, and, you know, it was hard. I like getting to know the players and, you know, getting to know their personalities, things like that. We don't get that as much right now, and I miss that part of it, but the football certainly was better.
Brian, do you think, now again, I know prime time, that's an extreme, but we've been seeing it off and on over the last couple of years with schools hiring their own writers, hiring their own media people, and so they're keeping a lot of those stories in-house and such. Do you see it with like prime time and what that was, how you're just really keeping it close to the chest with that access to players and coaches? Do you see that trend continuing nationwide?
Yeah, I think that there's part of that. I mean, what they're doing is unique. Obviously, I mean, I'm not sure. I mean, the people they have doing it don't work for CU. You know, it's like his son and some people that, you know, have been around him at Jackson State that came up here. And so, you know, CU's got their own, you know, creative team that does a great job. But as far as, like, the people that are providing most of the access, it's close to Dion, but not really from CU. And, you know, we get a lot of, I see a lot of player interviews done by these YouTube channels that are, you know, run by his son or his friends, and that's fine. That's what he wants to do. But I could see that becoming more of a trend. I think we saw more schools start to copy that this year because they saw how well it worked for Colorado. But I think it worked so well for Colorado because it's Deion Sanders.
Brian Howell joining us, Colorado Buffaloes beat writer for Buff Zone and the Boulder Daily Camera. When you look at obviously it's the day of the transfer portal, or the year, the time of the transfer portal. I just saw a post earlier, Brian, about Washington State's quarterback, Cameron Ward. There's a report or a rumor that he's already received over 10 $1 million offers to transfer schools. So I want to get into that at some point. But you're seeing it. I don't care which school you follow. You're seeing guys leave, come in, whatever. You're seeing guys decommit. And you are seeing it with CU, and because Primetime is the guy he is, everything he does is magnetized. Is it a cause for concern when you see some of these names? You see Danny O'Neill, Antoine Hill, and that big offensive lineman Chandler. Those guys decommitting, is that a concern?
Not really, not to me. You know, a guy like Chandler was a tough one because he was all in on the Buffs, but. He's a Missouri kid, and he had always wanted to go to Missouri, and they came in last minute and gave him an offer. And as soon as his dream school gave him an offer, he left. And so that makes sense. A couple of these 2025 commits, I don't know why they use the word commit anymore.
Yeah, I don't either. Yeah,
these kids are still 13 months away from signing. I'm not picking on Antoine Hill, but like we'll see situations like that where he might decommit and commit to somebody else, and then he'll decommit and commit somewhere else again. So we see kids that when they finally sign, that's the third or fourth school they were, quote, committed to. So I don't worry about the 2025 so much. And Danny O'Neill, that's a tough one because you know, you're a few weeks away from signing him, but he's so tied to Sean Lewis, and the writing's on the wall. It looks like Sean Lewis may not be here, so that makes sense as well. So it's tough on the surface to watch it, but I think that the Buffs have a plan, and a lot of their recruiting is not going to be done through the high school ranks anyway. They've got to hit the portal pretty hard.
Yeah, and I'm sure we'll see more of that, obviously with a focus on the offensive line side of things, Brian, no question. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but Primetime said something a week ago or whatever about, you know, I think that if you commit to a school, you shouldn't go out on other visits, something along those lines. You shouldn't be visiting other schools. And that's the thing. We got to tighten up this language, not just for media people, but for the everyday person, because committing doesn't mean anything anymore. I don't even think we should make it a thing. If Billy Bob says, I'm committing to CU, we ignore it and we don't even talk about it anymore, because you're right. It means absolutely nothing.
Yeah. But the funny thing is, that's what the fans love. I mean, they love the players commit, things like that. I mean, that's what, you know, when I look at our analytics at the paper, that's what gets the most readership. It's like recruiting and drama, right?
Mm-hmm.
If there's coach hiring, things like that, and recruiting, that's what gets the most readership. And so people love it. I mean, they get more excited about players that might play for their team than players that are playing for their team. And it's crazy because, you know, a lot of times those players either won't wind up there or they get here and they don't pan out in a year or two, and then they go somewhere else anyway. And so it's a crazy world, and we give a lot of attention to these players in the recruiting world that probably haven't earned it yet and probably don't deserve it. And, you know, they have to go earn it on the field first. And I think that's what Prime would like to see, but he's also realistic and knows that that's not the way it works. And, you know, you've got to cater to these kids. You've got to give them some money. You've got to, you know, bring the fancy cars on for recruiting visits, things like that. And so you have to cater to it, but I think that even he doesn't like it like that.
Well, and that's one of the many things that you provide too. I'm glad that's you, Brian, because I can't keep track of all these players coming and going, especially nowadays. So that's just another thing you add to your list of the, you know, on the to-do items. When you look at the offense, you mentioned Sean Lewis. I know you have talked about this name. I've heard this name. What are the real chances that Byron Leftwich is the new offensive coordinator for Colorado next year?
I think there's a chance just because of his relationship with Coach Prime and with Shador. It seems like they've got a relationship. And, you know, I think I mentioned on the show before that, you know, Leftwich was he was at a few games. At least I saw him once or twice. And so he's been out here, and so he's been close to the program. So I could see it happening. And Deion wants to hire somebody that connects well with his son, you know, call it nepotism or whatever. But any coach wants to get an offensive coordinator that connects with a quarterback, right? That relationship has to be a good one. And so he's going to find somebody that connects well with Shador. And whether that's Pat Shurmur, and he had an interesting comment the other day where he said Pat Shurmur and Shador get along really well.
Mm.
You know, that was interesting because, you know, fans are not excited about Pat Shurmur. But, you know, that could be the guy, you know, because they have a good relationship. And so it's going to be really interesting to see how that plays out.
No question about it. The offensive coordinator side of it is certainly interesting. You know, we saw this one, too, on the Warren Sapp side of things. I mean, we've been talking about this for a while, but set to join Colorado's coaching staff. I'm sure we're going to keep seeing names like that we grew up watching, Brian.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, too, because, you know, Sapp's never been a coach anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very curious as to like what kind of role he would have. And I'd be surprised. I cannot imagine that he would be the defensive line coach. That would really surprise me. I think number one, because they like Sal Sinceri, but number two, because Warren's never been a coach. And so there's, you know, even Warren Sapp said on national radio, he had to get his degree first. And so my thought is that he comes in as a grad transfer because that would allow him to, dip his feet into coaching and work with the players. If you come in as an analyst, you can't work with the players. But if you're a grad transfer, you can actually work with players. And so I would guess that's the role he has. I'd be really surprised if he was the defensive line coach.
Brian Howell joining us, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for Buff Zone and the Boulder Daily Camera. Brian, I think at the beginning of all of this with Primetime, when you and I have chatted, and you know, I asked you the questions, hey, how long do you think he's actually going to be here? And you kind of said early on, I don't think he'll finish that contract out. Is that kind of how you still feel today?
Yeah, I've thought since day one that this is at least a 2-year deal, and beyond that, all bets are off. And I still feel that way. And it would not surprise me if we have 12 more months of this, and that's it. You know, I think that once Shador is done playing, once Travis Hunter's done playing, and Shiloh's done playing, they all have one more year that they can play in college football. Well, Travis could do 2, but he's going to go pro after 3, I think. But I think next year is the key year, and they're done after next year. And so the chances of Prime continuing coaching beyond that, I have a hard time seeing it. You know, he mentioned the other day it was his first game coaching without his son. It was really weird, you know, and it was an interesting experience for him. I don't think he wants to do that. And so I'd be a little surprised if he's here in 2025.
Does he continue with the college football world? Does he go to the NFL? Does he go back to an analyst role? Like, what do you think? If, again, forcing you to predict with still not a lot of information out there, but what do you think?
Yeah, this is purely my opinion and not based on anything anybody's told me. But my belief, when you put all the things together, what I just said about Shador, Travis, Shiloh being done after next year, you look at the fact he'll be 57, I think, next year, with some health issues that he's been dealing with the last several years. I don't think he coaches again after 2024. My belief is that next year is it, and he, you know, retires from coaching, and he can make just as much money or more doing TV because he's still that dynamic personality, and some network's going to give him a lot of money, and he can cater that schedule to where he can still travel around, watch Shador, Shiloh, and Travis play football in the NFL. So that's my belief, is that he doesn't coach again after 2024, but goes back into the TV world.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense, especially when you add in Coach Prime talking about how weird it was not having his son out there last weekend. Brian, I know you are focusing on the women's side of things, too, for Colorado basketball. And I know that recently they dropped one to NC State. But, man, that the Pac-12 teams on the women's side, they are all, like, really good this year.
Yeah, that conference But that poor conference, right? I mean, the best year they've had in football is going to be the last year.
Yeah.
They've always been really good at women's basketball, but maybe the best year they had in women's basketball could be the last one. Men's basketball looks good. So, yeah, on that women's side, that conference is insane. I mean, even when last week they were number 3 in the country, they weren't the top-ranked team in the Pac-12, you know, because you had UCLA at number 2. And, you know, at number 7, I think there's still 2 or 3 teams above them from the Pac-12. And so, even as the number 7 team in the country, they're going to have a hard time even earning a bye for the first round of the Pac-12 tournament. So that's how brutal that conference is.
It is. I mean, you probably have a pretty special basketball team here, but the conference overall looks pretty special. I mean, the non-con schedule, I think, and again, you take some of it with a grain of salt, looking at who they're playing and stuff, but some of them have, obviously, so you played LSU, beat LSU. There's a lot of teams in there that are just rocking and rolling. So it is going to be an absolute battle in the Pac-12. See you going at it tonight, 6 o'clock against Boston U. Is that right, Brian?
Yes. All yeah, right. Boston, that should be a win, but that's a really good team for the Patriot League. So I think it's a good bounce-back opportunity for the Buffs, and they'll be all right. But you know, when they get to conference play, it's going to be really fun.
Brian, my man, always love talking to you about whatever it is on the CU side of things. And hey, when you write that book, let me know. I want a signed copy of that the year of prime time. I would love it.
We might have to do a chapter just on your comments on it.
Hey, I'm in. I won't even charge you anything, Brian. Whatever you need, I'll pay you to throw those comments in there.
Sounds good.
Brian, appreciate it, my man.
We'll talk to you soon.
Brian Howell of Buff Zone there. All right, there's his prediction, Angel. Probably makes you happy. You know, primetime won't be long for the state of Colorado. That's Brian's prediction. To make it very clear, that's not based on conversations he's had with anybody. Those are his thoughts. The feel he gets from being, you know, being in those interview rooms and media rooms, interviewing primetime and just getting a feel for that program. 12:50 the time. We'll take a short break here. I'll wrap up hour number one. Hour two, there it is. In hour three, we'll have Mike Brohard from CSURams.com talk a little bit about the football side of things, basketball, both teams, men's and women's, undefeated. Both are soaring right now at this point in the season. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
Basketball is here, and Bruce is having a ball. Listen to Coach Bruce Dick on Coach Speak. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.